Hello, and thank you for letting me into your eardrums. I'm Sarah Wendell. This is episode number 541 of Smart Podcast Trashy Books, and it is yet another fun and festive end-of-the-year episode. This week, I am connecting with Tara and AJ, and we are going to talk about books, wins, wishes, and a big ol' side trip into why the term quiet quitting is hot garbage, how to achieve contentment by being as mediocre as possible, and we talk a lot about AJ's new favorite genre, gay longing in spooky landscapes. It's a surprisingly fulsome list of books, too. This is a really fun episode, and I had a really great time recording and editing it. That's a really good word. Editing this episode. I'm leaving all of that in, by the way. And I hope you enjoy listening to it as much as I have tried to say editing with the correct number of syllables. Hello and thank you to our Patreon community. Hey, folks, thanks for making these episodes possible by, you know, being in them. If you would like to join the podcast Patreon, please have a look at patreon.com/smartbitches. Monthly pledges start at $1. You get bonus episodes. There is an absolutely fantastic podcast Discord that I love very much, and it would be wonderful to have you. If the show is valuable and has helped you out this year, and you'd like to support it, that's the best way to do so. Patreon.com/smartbitches. This episode is brought to you in part by LifeMD. LifeMD has created a better and more affordable way for people to speak to doctors without leaving their home. No long hold times on the phone or uncomfortable waiting rooms filled with people coughing or confusion on who to call for what problem. With LifeMD, you can video chat with a board-certified physician and get the care and prescriptions you need in as little as 15 minutes. Visit LifeMD.com/Sarah today and see why LifeMD is America's most trusted leader in virtual healthcare. Whether it's a nasty cough that won't go away or a pink eye that refuses to exit without a prescription, or that awkward feeling of knowing you have a UTI on a Saturday when the doctor's office is closed, finding care can be awkward and challenging. I've definitely had the experience of feeling very sick at a time when care was the least available, and having the comfort and benefit of telehealth in my pocket, ready to go, would have been a wonderful help. Visit LifeMD.com/Sarah now or download their app and see why LifeMD is America's trusted telehealth leader. That's LifeMD.com/Sarah to experience healthcare the way it should be. This episode is brought to you in part by Next Evo Naturals. The holidays can be a beautiful, cozy time, but also pretty stressful. From shopping to crowds to travel, there's a lot going on, and it can really upset my sleep and my stress levels. Next Evo Naturals is a gift that can help take the stress out of the holiday season. If you've been thinking about trying CBD or you've been hearing a lot about the benefits of CBD, have a look at Next Evo Naturals. Next Evo Naturals are unique CBD gummies that were developed to be fast-acting and effective. The Next Evo Naturals Stress CBD Complex gummies work to target the source of rising stress hormones like cortisol. Their 100% U.S. hemp-derived CBD has 4 times better absorption than standard CBD. Get smarter CBD from Next Evo Naturals and get 25% off subscription orders of $40 or more at nextevo.com/podcast, promo code Sarah. That's nextevo.com/podcast, promo code Sarah. This episode is brought to you by Paired, a relationship app for couples. It is getting darker earlier and earlier, and if you're thinking about staying in and having good conversations with your partner, the Paired app can make nights in a lot of fun. You and your partner download the app, pair together, and each day you get questions, quizzes, and games to play. They help you feel connected and can inspire some very funny conversations. I like Paired because it is simple and it is often hilarious. We receive a daily question to answer, but I can't see Adam's answer until I've responded, and sometimes our answers are hilariously different. Sometimes you take the quiz for yourself and you have to predict what the other person will say. Other questions include, what do you remember about the first time you met? Or which 3 words describe your partner best? Whether you are just a few dates in or have been together a long time, it's time to lighten the mood and have fun with your partner by using Paired. Head to paired.com/Sarah to get a 7-day free trial and 25% off if you sign up for a subscription. Just head to paired.com/Sarah to sign up today. Connect with your partner every day using Paired. A happier relationship starts here. This episode is brought to you in part by Athletic Greens. If you are looking for an all-in-one supplement to start your day and you would like one that tastes good, take a look at Athletic Greens. I started taking Athletic Greens because it's easy, it has everything I need and want in a supplement, it's fast, and it tastes good. And my stomach never gets upset, which is always a problem for me. Athletic Greens is lifestyle friendly, it's vegan, dairy-free, gluten-free, and contains less than a gram of sugar with no GMOs. Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews and is a climate-neutral certified company. It is terrific for travel. The convenient travel packs are easy to bring along, they're very small, and if I'm changing time zones and I don't know when I'm going to be hungry, it's perfect. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/Sarah. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/Sarah to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. It is time to talk about books and winds and gay longing in spooky landscapes. I love this genre title. On with the podcast. AJ, let's start with you. What are your holiday wishes for everyone?
Oh, my holiday wishes are lots of books for whatever gifting holiday anyone is involved in, and minimal to no family drama for anyone who is around their family.
Yes.
Really wonderful.
Enough sleep. I feel like we all need to just get enough sleep.
Yes.
Tara, what about you? What are your wishes for everyone for this holiday? Is it negative 26 degrees centigrade weather with a wind chill of minus 40? Is that your holiday wish?
No. Why would I wish that? Yeah, just come to my house. Friends, come to my house. Listen, it is a balmy negative 16 degrees Celsius at this exact moment in time in Calgary. I'm still not stepping outside.
I will tell you, negative 16 degrees Celsius is a balmy 3 whole degrees Fahrenheit. But it was negative 26 there earlier, right?
I have the page open. The low overnight was minus 11 Fahrenheit.
No, thank you.
I'll pass on that.
Yeah, no thanks. There are times when I will go snowboarding in Vermont and it's very, very cold, even though it's the end of February, early March. There are some times when like the high is, you know, the high is 2 and the low is negative 10. And I'm like, I'm not leaving the condo. I don't even plan on putting on like a bra. Yeah. No, absolutely not. I don't want to fall on that. It's just ice and it's going to hurt my butt. That's not fun.
I used to work with a guy who would go, overnight ice caving in this kind of weather.
Oh,
with his
boyfriend.
And I was like, why? What? Why? And he was like, it's fun. And I was like, we, my friend, have wildly different definitions of fun. No, I am in my basement. You people listening can't see, but you can see something flickering in the background. That is my fireplace. I have a heated blanket on my lap. This is perfection.
I have a heating pad and a blanket. I completely understand. But also it's not negative 26 here.
No. Okay. In terms of actual holiday wishes for people. So my wish is actually related to one of my book recommendations, because I did cheat and bring more than one. And my wish for people is rest, because it is through rest that we can have imagination, that we can dream, that we can problem solve, that we can be our best selves, and that we can recognize that we are more than what we produce. And if you are able to step away from work for a little while over the holidays, I hope everybody takes the time to reflect on that.
So true. I could cry. I bet I know what book you're going to recommend. And
you probably do, because I told you to read it.
Yes, it is my vacation book this year. That's really beautiful. And it's so true. The grind culture that tells you don't need rest, you don't need to pause, you must always be producing is so harmful on multiple levels. But it also serves as a distraction to keep you from noticing how unhappy you are.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's so true.
Mm-hmm. It also diminishes your worth as a person to what you can produce and makes us forget that we have worth even if we're not producing anything for capitalism.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not that that's
true.
A rant that I want to go on frequently.
Yes, 1,000%. If I had a lighter, I would be holding it. So let's talk about book or books that made you happy this year. Tara, do you want to go first on this one?
Okay. So the book that made me happiest was, it's two parts. They absolutely do not stand alone. So I am recommending them together, because even though you have to buy them separately, it is not enough for you to read the first book. And the second book probably won't make a lot of sense without the first book. And it is Truth and Measure and Above All Things by Rosalind Sinclair. And anybody who pays attention to me online will not be surprised about this. And the reason it made me happy is that Truth and Measure was my favorite fanfic, and I loved it so much. It was, I counted it in my top five books, because I don't care if it wasn't published as original fiction. When you're reading something that's 300,000 words, that's a book. That counts. It's fine. And
that's actually three books.
Right. Exactly. Could be four. Right? Exactly. Surely it counts. And I probably read it 2 to 3 times a year for like the last 4 or 5 years. And I was super nervous when I heard that it was being turned into original fiction, cracked into 100,000 words being pulled out. What's going to happen? Like, if it's my favorite, is it still going to be good? And it's so good. I loved it so much. It made me so happy. So the real brief for people that don't know about this and haven't heard me banging on about it a bunch, because actually recently, just this week, we're recording this December 2nd, but earlier this week, on my podcast, we released a deep dive into the fanfic versus the fiction. It was me and the author, Milena Mackay, going into the, because she's also a super fan. She started writing because of this fanfic, and she's a really popular author in the sapphic romance community. And I was like, hey, come talk to me about this.
That's so cool.
I need to listen to that like immediately, because I am also super into fanfic and read many 300,000+ words. So I'm like, ooh,
yeah, I need the link. It was so fun. It's the conversation I've been wanting to have since I first read this book in April. It started out as a Devil Wears Prada fanfic. So if you look at the original fiction, no longer the case, but there is an age gap there. It does sort of start as a boss employee situation. I know that's a no-go for a lot of people, but I think the way the author handled it was quite delicate and sensitive. Cause I did wonder, like, okay, Me Too happened between the fanfic coming out in 2013 and the original fiction coming out earlier this year. Right. And I think, it skirts the line quite nicely, but the idea is, Jules is the EA to Vivian. Vivian runs this large, you know, very not Vogue, you know, fashion magazine. Vivian finds out she's pregnant. She and her husband are splitting up. They had one last hurrah. Oh shit. And so Jules is like scheduling all her stuff, coming with her for doctor's appointments because she's taking notes. And kind of along the way, they each grow to care for each other. And then what else happens? And it just, I love it so much. It makes me so happy. One of the things I love about these books, like the book, is that a lot of books end right after the I love you or the like, okay, we're together. With this, you actually get to see more of the relationship. Yeah. And in a way that it doesn't feel like, okay, we're just writing more stuff, like it's actually essential to their story. You see them get to like a very good settled place that makes sense. And I don't know that I've seen passion written better than this author does it, especially in this particular book. And so like I used to sort of sneak the fic link to people, and they were like, I don't know, I don't really like Devil Wears Prada. And I was like, me neither. I never got into the movie. I never read the book. But like, if you like age gaps, if you like workplace, that's kind of all that matters. And I've had so many people be like, fuck you, I just lost 3 days to this fic. And I was like, I'd be sorry, but you love it. And you know you love it. So that's my fun book that I wouldn't say that one changed my life, but it made me so happy. And honestly, it's my favorite book now. It's replaced what was my kind of ultimate favorite. The one that did change my life and is related to my wishes is Rest is Resistance by Trisha Hersey. Trisha Hersey is the founder of the Knapp Ministry. I can't even call it a nonfiction book, although that's what it is. I would actually call it a meditation almost more than anything else. And it is a meditation on the fact that we can liberate ourselves through rest, and that it is the horrific marriage of capitalism and white supremacy that works together to keep us all exhausted. Because when we are exhausted, we don't have time to consider the fact that we are all being exploited, that there are injustices that are happening. We don't have the energy to try to dismantle these systems of oppression, because if we're not at our full-time job, we're working on our side hustle, or perhaps our second side hustle, and all these things. And instead, when you read it, there's a lot of repetition, and that's on purpose, which again is why I say it's a meditation, because it says things like, you are enough. Like when Trisha Hursey talks about it, I first heard, like, I've been following her for a while, so I saw her promoting it on Instagram, but I saw that she was on the We Can Do Hard Things podcast with Glennon Doyle and Abby Wambach. And the way she talks about it is, she says, you know, capitalism can't have me. It is through rest that we are all going to have liberation, because when we rest, when we close our eyes, we can solve problems. Things just kind of come to us. Things float to the surface. We have that kind of energy to tackle things that we've been trying to figure out. We might have revelations about ourselves that we wouldn't have had otherwise. And there has been something so powerful in taking some of these mantras for myself, saying things like, capitalism can't have me. I have to live within capitalism, but it can't necessarily have me. Mm-hmm. That I am enough as I am. I am so much more than what I can produce. And I just think everybody should be reading it. And I am telling, especially, I have been telling some of the women in my life, some of them are at work, who are in their early 20s, you need to read this book, because that is the kind of message that I wish I would have received early in my career.
Oh, yeah.
Because in your early 20s, you're still also kind of figuring out who you are, right? And the message is, no, it's time to hustle. It's time to grind. It's time to. And so what I tend to say to them is, do it if you want to. If you feel like that hustle is fulfilling for some reason, you're doing something that is bringing you joy, I'm not going to tell you not to pursue joy, but don't do it just because people are telling you that that is the only path to success, because that is actually the path to being ground down, to being burned out, to not getting to live to your own fullest self, whatever that actually looks like. So that's my book for everyone. And to revise my wish, I wish that everybody takes the time to read this over the holidays and to spend some time thinking about how they might want to reclaim some of their life and some of their space through rest. Because even just what I started doing is just 10 minutes at a time, close my eyes, put on some super, super chill music, and let my mind wander and see what happens. And I have been shocked at how transformative even that's been.
Yeah. The thing that makes that I think of first is, and I know you grew up with this because we're about the same age, that your job has to be your identity. You have to find your purpose and do what you are. Your identity has to be your job, and you must find your job in your identity. And I have to say, as someone who has made her job out of the thing she loves most in the world, I don't always recommend that. It is very hard to take a break from doing the thing that you love when the thing that you love is also your job. It's very hard. Mm-hmm.
I actually think one of the most radical things I have chosen to do as a parent, because I have two kids, they're 11 and 7. I have never asked them what they want to be when they grow up, because I didn't understand it when I was growing up. But something I came to realize more as an adult is, I believe that question is actually violent, because that question is asking kids to already start to plot out, where are you going to fit in the capitalism machine? Mm-hmm. Why do they need to know that at this age?
Oh, yeah.
And instead, it's asking more like, what are you interested? What do you want to learn about? What, my oldest loves drawing. And she said herself, maybe I'll be a graphic designer. But we said, what do you want to do? And she's like, I want to do digital art. So we got her a Wacom tablet. Not because I'm trying to prepare her to be a graphic designer, but because she wants to do digital art. Let's encourage that. She'll find a path. She'll figure it out. Most people figure out how to feed themselves at some point. But why do we need to box kids
Oh yeah.
Into why, like, so much of childhood is about preparing them for where they're going to fit in capitalism. School systems. That's what they're for. Really? We're trying to get kids used to social norms. Show up on time. Eat at a scheduled time. Sit where you're told. Do what you're told.
Do repetitive work without an immediate impact to your own well-being. Like, homework doesn't teach them anything. Homework is not educationally valuable.
No pedagogical value of homework. I want to read you something that I got today. One of my Friday newsletters is mostly about exploring fashion and the absolute bizarro paparazzi photos and fashion photos and photo service of celebrities. It's actually looking at these pictures and being like, what are those? What? So it's called I Love Mess. But this arrived and I read this 15 minutes ago in a moment of great kismet. The only other thing I wanted to say is that I feel like academic brain power is wasted on the young. Because I have chosen a profession that is essentially just committing to doing homework on a deadline forever, I think back in total awe about how prolifically studious I was as a high schooler and my ability to read and maintain multiple books and pump out 2,000 word essays and design presentations in an afternoon. And for what? A fictional grade with no bearing on the real world? Of course, now when I desperately need that superhuman focus, it's nowhere to be found. I think we got the order of this thing wrong.
Hell yes. As a person who also does a lot of homework for work, I second that. And I would love to, although I don't think I could pick back up my habits. Because when I was in grad school, every single paper I wrote was written between the hours of 9 p.m. and 7 a.m. And I'm too old for that. I'm too tired. And I can't.
Was it the night before it was due?
I think sometimes, like, for the ones in the middle, but, like, at the end, it was nothing but papers because I did a master's that was all coursework. And so I would do it for 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
And then my term would be over and I would go to my parents' house and collapse in an illness for a week.
Oh, man.
Man. Yeah, I always did my papers in the hour to 2 hours before the class started. And, I don't know if I could do that again, but...
My brain had so much more at the last minute. Like my brain was really good at last minute stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which then is so maladaptive because then you train your brain that the only way to like activate is under that pressure and panic. And then you have to manufacture that panic in order to do anything.
Yep.
And that's tangentially related to what we're talking about. But the discussion of like rest and capitalism not being able to define you and all that stuff, it made me think of the best decision that I made for myself this year was I made a New Year's resolution to be mediocre at my job.
Oh, I love everything about this. What an awesome resolution.
Well, I had just gotten a new job. I had gotten a promotion and I was absolutely just stressing myself out so badly, being like, I need to be the best that I can be. Like, I need to be the best person at this job. And my mental health was suffering. I was having physical health problems. Like, it was just, it was rough. It was a mess. And I sat myself down. I took a week off at the beginning of January and I sat myself down and I was like, what if I just was okay? And like, if I did the bare minimum, what would that be? And I made a list and it was only like 5 things. And so every time I started to stress myself out, I would just be like, were you mediocre at your job today? Yes. Okay, good. And
so you started quiet quitting. It was you. Quiet quitting where you're just going to do the absolute minimum of your job. It was you.
I actually hate the term. I hate the term quiet quitting.
I completely hate it too. It is so pejorative. But I think it was you, AJ. I applaud you. I am in awe of your influence. I don't know if you knew that what you did, but you really scared a lot of people in established media industries. Like, they came up with a shitty name and everything.
Can I ask a follow-up question?
Yeah.
Did anyone notice?
The ironic thing is that no, because because let's be honest, a lot of people are out there giving it their like 40% at their jobs. But also, I ended up performing better when I wasn't so stressed out about performing well.
What?
Yes.
Which I was like, what? First of all, what the hell? But second of all, then I ended up teaching a seminar for other people in my position about how to stop trying to do everything and calm the heck down and just try to be mediocre.
I'm actually not surprised at all, because I remember from reading Laziness Does Not Exist, which, you know, we love at the Bitchery, by Dr. Devin Price, talks about how you actually need to, if you want to work better, you should work less. You shouldn't be trying to work 60, 80 hour weeks. Like, as much as people, there are some people that I know praise Elon Musk for like the grind and the super hardcore mode and the, all that bullshit. And like, we're going to work 80 hours. You don't work a good 80 hours. Never. If you work a good 30 hours, you're actually probably going to produce more and better work than what you would do by giving all your life over.
I have a program on my computer designed to track my time. It's called Rescue Time. And I tell it what is and isn't work. I use it because every Sunday I get a little summary of my prior week. And you're supposed to use it for is, of course, you know, maximize your productivity. Don't waste time. Don't spend too much time on Twitter or whatever. But what I'm actually doing is if I go above 27 hours consistently, if I'm at 30, 35, 40 hours of work, which most of what I do is creative or administrative. If I go over 35, there has to be a really good reason. There has to be a really, really good reason I'm busting my ass because I have worked so hard to streamline my workflows and to figure out the way to do things because me being miserable and me being stressed out and exhausted is not going to bring me more traffic to my website. No one's going to be like, wow, Sarah is in a puddle of tears in the shower because she's so tired. Definitely going to check out that site. Like, that doesn't get me anything. It actually just harms me. There's no direct correlation. You know, if I'm about to go on.
It harms the longevity of your business.
It does harm the longevity of my business. And if I'm about to go away and I'm like pre-recording and pre-loading, that's fine. I'm about to take like 2 weeks off. But if I see that number consistently being too high, I know, all right, something is going on. I either need to address how I'm working or figure out how to cut back because I will burn out very quickly. Because again, thing that I love, also my job I love, it's really easy to just do it all the time because I mean, I like it. I made it up. But I have this productivity app tracking me so that I will work less. So I understand completely being like, yeah, what if I didn't burn out? Well played. Somewhere a legacy media billionaire is like super freaking out about this whole giving a seminar thing and they're coming up with a pithy pejorative name for it. So just, you know, watch for that in January.
I can't wait.
So it's not quiet quitting.
Right?
It's not quiet quitting. It's loud mediocrity.
Yes.
I still think it's just doing your job. This is the part, like, I got so, when it first started coming around and people were sending me the article and I was like, fuck off with that. They're getting mad because people are doing their jobs and companies are showing their entire asses because they're showing that they did not appropriately plan their resourcing. And because if your resourcing is based on people working at 150%, you didn't resource.
And if you are working on the assumption of invisible volunteer labor of other people that you're not compensating for, you have a budgetary problem.
Yeah.
And if you're a person who is insisting that, oh, I'm going to give this 150% and that will, like, giving everything of myself will in some way justify my life because I have not separated myself from the idea that that's the way to be a good person, then you're going to burn yourself out. And
There is so much I could be doing all the time. I could do probably three jobs worth of things in my job because I am one of two people in my company that do what I do. And the other person reports to me and is junior. And I just believe in ruthless prioritization.
Yes.
What is the most important thing I can be doing right now? Because yes, I've been saying all these anti-capitalist things. I also recognize I work at a company. I work at a company because I like to eat food. I like my kids to eat food. I like us to all live in a house.
I like that you have heat right now. I'm really glad that you have heat right now. It makes me feel relief.
Exactly. But I can still help my company be great at what it does.
Yeah.
While having boundaries with my time. if I make sure that what I'm working on is the most important and impactful and urgent thing that I could be working on right now, rather than trying to do everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. That's the other thing. You try to do everything and you lose sight of what are the things that actually matter.
And also, if you're giving 150%, to quote Tressie McMillan Cottom, the institution does not love you back. You're not paying. Yes. You're not investing in some kind of goodwill that will be reciprocated. You're demonstrating that you will do 150% of the labor for 100% of the salary they're paying you. You're demonstrating that they don't have to take care of you. They're not going to love you back because you put an extra 50% into your job. That's not what happens.
No.
Yeah. Agreed. Even if the people that you work with do. Yeah. But the company, the job does not.
The institution cannot love you back. AJ, what book blew your mind this year? Was it The Communist Manifesto? An Invitation to Socialism?
You know, I haven't actually read The Communist Manifesto. Maybe I should. But
when we checked into an Airbnb in Portugal last winter, when we took our kids to Portugal, there was a copy in Chinese of some sort of communist tract. And we kept trying to read it. It didn't work.
Better than the Gideon Bible. That's all I can say about that.
Absolutely.
I know. I was trying to think of like the two of them laying side by side in the bedside table.
Opposites attract. Yes.
Right?
Well, if I was an Airbnb owner and I was going to spread my personal propaganda, the book that I would leave in a bedside table this year is Ocean's Echo by Amarina Maxwell.
I could not top that if I tried. Mwah, A plus.
Same.
Thank you.
Perfect. Perfect.
So yeah, I read this book. I think I've been yelling about it in Slack a little bit, and I'm working on a review and all of that. But I have to cut the review severely because I wanted to quote like every single chapter, and I had to. Okay, that's enough quotes. Let people read the book. It is my personal catnip of a sci-fi, slow burn, gay, fake relationship romance. It just made me so, so happy. So the characters are, one of them is a like a receptive psychic, so he can read people's minds. The other one is a projective psychic, so he can control people's behavior. And they're supposed to like bond their brains to form like a permanent mental psychic bond so that they can be better soldiers for the military. And they decide to not do that, and then hijinks ensue. And the characters are so opposite, but they appreciate each other. There's not any fighting between the two of them. So one of them is like the disaster aristocrat, doesn't care about anything, and the other one is like, oh, I'm a good soldier. I got a good grade in soldier, which is normal to want and possible to achieve. And when they meet, they both are like, oh, you have all of these like strengths and that I appreciate, and I wish I could be more like you. And they just really work really well together. And as you can see, I'm just like almost non-verbally gushy about how much I love it, because it was so good. Just like, yeah, I had book hangover for like 2 weeks. I couldn't read anything else. It's great.
That is the best kind of book hangover too. Like, I can't read anything else. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I almost just went back to the beginning and read it again.
Well, like, I mean, why not? Still might. Why not? What's stopping you? You're getting a good grade in rereading.
Yes. Which is also normal to want and possible to achieve. That's going to be my number one for sure for the year. And I'm sure I definitely have another that I can mention, because.
Bring it.
Yeah. So, in this spring, my internet went out at home. So I actually have a long list of books that I read, because I was just like, all right, I got no internet. Let's go face down in the library catalog. But this one actually was recommended by a friend. It's Summer Suns by Lee Mandello, which is also gay and paranormal. It's like Southern Gothic paranormal. And it launched this whole trend for me and the friend that recommended it, of like gay longing and spooky landscape as a genre.
Ooh, gay longing in an ominous setting.
Yes. So we came up with a whole list. It's like Summer Suns, which is contemporary and set in, gosh, I forget now. I want to say Virginia. But then there's like the Emily Tesh books, Silver in the Wood and Drowned Country, and Spectred Isle by K.J. Charles. So I realize this is a giant list, but like this is all of the gay longing and creepy trees books that we could come up with. And it's been very fun to just be a little bit creeped out, but like in a super queer way.
Are they pretty broody too?
Yes, extremely broody.
Wonderful. That sounds perfect.
AJ, yes. have you read Hither Page and The Missing Page by Kat Sebastian?
You know, I haven't, but they got recommended on my Kindle page the other day. If they fall into that genre, I am in.
They are the tagline is Agatha Christie, but make it queer. So it's
sold
post World War II, I think. A small town doctor who has significant PTSD has moved into this very small town practice. There's a murder, you know, people die. There's creeping about at night. Everything is very dark. And for the missing page, it's cold. It's winter. So there's a very ominous, it's not paranormal, but there's an ominous sort of gloom and creepy vibe around it. It's also extremely cozy. But like Agatha Christie also did a really good blend of cozy and creeping the shit out of me.
Mm-hmm.
So this is similar in that vein.
Yes. And I am definitely on board for like cozy creepiness this time of year.
Yep.
But yeah. And just to give a little bit more info on Summer Suns, it's the main character has a best friend who they were super codependent, slight, somewhat gay, but very like in the closet, who has died. And he's going down to figure out his like estate, and then finds out that his friend was murdered, and meets another guy who was like hanging out with his friend, and they go on to investigate all of the shenanigans and creepy things around the situation.
So many people have just hit pause. when this episode airs, like just so many people will have paused right there.
Good. Everyone needs to go read it, and then they need to write more fan fiction for it, because there's only like 20 fics on AO3 and I've read them all. So
this is all about finding yourself more fanfic to read, right?
Honestly, yes, because I also want people to write more fan fiction for Ocean's Echo. So I'm just saying.
I mean, fair. Absolutely fair. All right. So in addition, AJ, in addition to deciding to be eminently mediocre at your job, what was a big win for you in 2022?
Honestly, I think the big win for me has just been settling into who I am. Now that I say that, the big win for me was coming out as non-binary at work.
Nice. Oh, well done. Well done. That
Thank you. Yes.
Was not mediocrity, for the record.
No, that part I am not mediocre at. I am excellent at being non-binary.
Good for you. I am so impressed. Way to go.
Thank you. It was much less dramatic than I thought it would be. I was like, do I need to send out an email and like explain and do gender 101? And my HR person was like, do you want to? I was like, not really. He was like, then don't. People will figure it out.
So true.
Amazing. Yep. Well done. Imagine what kind of panic and incredible revelations are coming next year between giving seminars on how not to work yourself into exhaustion and also being excellent at being non-binary. I mean, I expect names any minute.
Yes. I'm going to think of one.
Okay.
But it might take a little bit.
That's fine. Tara, what's your big win for 2022?
I'm kind of torn between podcast related and personal career related. And I know personal career sounds really funny given my earlier anti-capitalist rant.
It's okay to like your job. I mean, it is
especially okay. Especially when you hear my next words. I finally figured out what I want to be when I grow up. Ooh. And it's what I'm doing now.
Yay!
Yeah, it's so nice as I feel like looking at my career trajectory, it's been very serendipitous bouncing around. I was a copywriter for a long time. I did communications for a mental health research and policy nonprofit and learned I don't want to work for nonprofits. It's really, it takes a special kind of soul, and that's not me. And then when I came to where I am now, like I did product marketing for a few years, which is great. But I had the opportunity, because I say yes to everything. Well, I don't say yes to everything. That's not true. I stand by what I said about ruthless prioritization. But because I say yes to opportunities that sound interesting and I know will have an impact on the business, I fell into competitive intelligence. And I've been talking to other people that are doing it. I've been connected with some incredible people in the field. And I realized this is what I want to be doing because it's so fun. It's so interesting. I'm taking like intelligence courses with people from the RCMP. It's a little weird. It's like, oh, one of these things is not like the other. It is me. But like getting to harness all the things that make me great, like my curiosity, my relationship building skills, my low-key pettiness and liking to win, and getting to turn it all into a job where I win by helping other people win. I do well by helping other people do well is so good, and it's so fulfilling, and it's such a small field and there's so few people doing it that when I build it here as much as I can and I feel like I'm done, I can go somewhere else and build it there. Yeah. So that's been a really great one. And this has been an incredible year for the Queerly Recommended podcast. There were a couple of opportunities. One has already happened. One is about to happen. And actually it was at work. At their conference where I had the opportunity to interview Jonathan Van Ness on stage in front of like all of our clients and everyone responsible for my paycheck. And it went really, really well. And on stage, he said at one point, how are you so good at this? And I was so flustered that I told him the truth, which also turned into something incredible because I said, well, here's the thing. I've been on a public speaking journey because I used to have public speaking panic attacks like 5 or 6 years ago. And so to go from that to I'm interviewing a personal idol in front of all of these people, like that's a big, like
that's a really big narrative arc.
Yeah. And so I told him, look, I've been on this public speaking journey and I was nervous about this. And so the way I calmed myself down was by saying, I'm going to pretend that we're recording a super secret episode of my podcast. And he said, you should have just ripped the audio and put it on your podcast. And I said,
okay,
what? He's like, yeah, just do it. Legal agreements in California are binding. And he held true to it because my company could not even post that conversation. It was not in the contract terms. But for whatever reason, during Pride Month, he looked at me and said, you can do this. And that was incredible. And then the next thing you both probably know, because I've been freaking out in the Smurbitches Slack. One of the great joys for me this year has been watching The Big Brunch, Dan Levy's next project post Schitt's Creek. Because it's like he took everything he learned from the first two seasons of The Great Canadian Baking Show and was like, okay, what if we dial up the warmth? We add some swearing. It's all about kindness. There's no cruelty in this show. And I just loved it so much.
And it's so
and
queer.
I recommended it on the, it's so queer. Yeah. Like I think a third of the cast is queer. And usually I wait until a season is out of a show before I would recommend it. But after three episodes, I was freaking out. I was so happy about it. I went ahead and recommended it. We put clips of our podcast just to promote it on all of our socials. But I posted that one on Instagram and I tagged Dan Levy and the three queer chefs. And Chef Katie ended up in our DM saying, hey, I'm a total podcast junkie. I'd love to be on your show if you're interested. And I went, ah! Thompson at the end of Sense and Sensibility with the when she sees and she does the like yeah. Don French makes fun of it and the Vicar of Dibley. Yeah. I basically did that and was like, Chris! And as I was emailing back and forth with Katie, I said, like, we're still just so shocked because we were talking about how amazing it would be to talk to you, to have you or Jay on the show. And Katie said, I bet Jay would be down. And so we're talking to both of them at the same time on Sunday. So that is a very, very, very big moment for us, because just the way they represented on that show, like Katie representing non-binary people and Jay representing queer Chinese Canadians, like
it's the Canadian part. So, I know it's the Canadian part, front and center.
That was, I mean, okay, for me, that was part of it. Like, I actually had pure joy when Dan Levy ordered a Caesar on the show, because Americans do not understand, and those are delicious.
Do you know how many Caesar jokes happened on my couch when that happened? I mean, that's how they advertise Caesars, is they, you know, make a Caesar. It's how they do it.
Yeah.
There's so much Letterkenny going on. Yeah, AJ, if you're not familiar, a Caesar is a Bloody Mary with Clamato.
Okay, I was wondering, because I have heard of a Caesar in many, many contexts, and I was like, but what is it? Okay, well, I'll pass on that because I don't like Bloody Marys, but...
Yeah, a lot of people will like to, they think it sounds like it's going to be gross because of the Clamato, but I promise it's delicious. It's also the spices they put in and stuff that makes it delicious. I would never drink Clamato on its own, but I would drink a Caesar.
I'm surprised anyway, I'm having Caesar right now.
It is still the workday. I'm having a Slurpee. Thank you very much. Because, yes, I have a fireplace and a heated blanket and a frozen drink. Why not?
I think you're making A-plus adulting.
We contain multitudes.
Thank you. Yes, exactly.
And a Slurpee.
And a Slurpee.
So that was your personal professional win and your podcast win. Those are both big-ass wins.
Not bad.
That's amazing.
It's been a pretty all right year.
One of the things that I love is how much all of the interviews that I'm doing, people are, you know, wishing for peace and rest, but also so many of people's wins have been recognizing themselves and then being themselves more fully in some way, or just refusing to pretend to be not someone else, like to drop masks and to stop, you know, hiding parts of themselves that they keep secret. It's really lovely. I'm glad everyone's just sort of showing up in the world and being themselves. It's going to be a lot better, I hope.
Agreed. I think that makes a big difference, even beyond like the big things this year. Just looking back at 2022, I'm like, yeah, I was way more myself than I've ever felt comfortable being, even to the weird things, like I started keeping beer in the crisper in my fridge, because if I put vegetables in there, I forget about them and then they go bad. Beer's not going to go bad. So the veggies go on the shelf and the beer goes in the crisper. There you go.
Makes perfect sense. And you're not going to have to worry about them falling off the shelf or rolling somewhere. They're in a bin.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Yes.
To anyone listening, this is your official permission to do whatever shortcut makes your life work better, even if other people think that it's weird.
Yes.
I saw a documentary once about, Zizek. I'm not totally sure how to pronounce is it like Slavoj Zizek? I'm so sorry to all the philosophy nerds. But he would keep like clothes in the kitchen. He was like, why does it matter? Storage is storage. And there would be like, and here is my shirts on my kitchen shelf. And I was like, yeah, all right, man.
I know of a few people who, if they have a habitual anxiety trigger, like, did I unplug the coffee maker? Did I unplug the hairdryer? Did I unplug my curling iron? If taking a picture of it isn't enough, just unplug it, put it in a bag and bring it with you. Then you can train your brain. Oh, no, it's right here. It's not plugged in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
These are the things. Who cares?
Everyone's brain is a little funky sometimes. It can work with it. Thank you so much for doing this. I really, really appreciate all of your time and how thoughtful you've been. This is so much fun. I cannot wait to edit this. Thank you.
Thank you for having us. This was fun.
Absolutely. This was super fun. Let's do it again in the mid-year, in the new year, and be like super mediocre at each other.
Yes.
I love this plan. I will message all of you and we will do another Let's Talk About Things.
Yes. Sounds great.
Have a great weekend and be excellently mediocre.
Well, I say we. I'm not going to promise for you, Tara, but I will be excellently mediocre this weekend.
Awesome.
I'm going to do it for everything but that one conversation where I'll be too excited to be purposefully anything.
Yeah, just perfect. Just be a big ball of squee. It's fine. And that brings us to the end of this week's episode. Thank you so much for how joyfully you've responded to the end of the year episodes. They are so much fun to put together, and it's really fun to share them with you. I will have links to every book we talked about, as well as all of the other things we mentioned, including Tara's podcast, Queerly Recommended. Heads up, the episode with the big brunch is out, and it is so good. I've already listened to it. It was exactly what I wanted to hear. It was so lovely. It will completely make your day. And I'll link to it in the show notes, never fear. As always, I end with a bad joke. This joke comes from Martin by way of the podcast Discord Jokes channel, which is like the greatest place on the earth. Martin, tusen dank. All right, are you ready for this joke? Here we go. Did you hear about the building that looks ordinary on most days, but at the full moon becomes a storage facility? Yeah, it's a warehouse. Okay, I have a lot of storage facilities near where I live, and now I'm going to think of them all as warehouses and wonder what they transform into at the full moon. Thank you, Martin. On behalf of everyone here, we wish you the very best of reading. Have a wonderful weekend, and we will see you back here next week. Smart Podcast Trashy Books is part of the Frolic Podcasting Network. You can find outstanding podcasts to subscribe to at frolic.media/podcasts.